Мяу, 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 мяу.
Мяу.
Мяу. Мяу.
Мяу.
Мяу, мяу, мяу.
Мяу, 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 мяу. Мяу, мяу, мяу. Hello, freedom fiends. Lighting fires of liberty in your heart with magic microphones of anarchy. Mr. Michael Dean can't be with us tonight. He's fighting off hordes of zombies, armed only with his guitar. I'm Derek J. I'll be calming the hamster in your brain tonight. With me is Nick Hazelton of anyak.com. Hey, Nick.
Hey. Thanks for having me on, Derek.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling excellent. It's a beautiful evening here in Keene in the Shire from where I broadcast. It's the Liberty Media capital of the world. And where are you from? Where are you at?
I'm from the Willamette Valley of Oregon.
And we are connected across the tubes to talk about liberty and freedom and all that good stuff. Should America institute the draft? It's what I want to get to in this hour. We'll get to that. But you're an interesting guy. I want to talk about you for a little bit. You got a podcast, don't you?
I do. The Anarcho-Yakitalism Podcast.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's basically the smallest philosophical conversation.
I like how you put that. Okay, that's very good. And why do you feel it's important to talk into your microphone about liberty and put that on the internet?
I don't know very many people in my area that are interested in liberty, and I think that I can reach those people with the stuff that I do with my entrepreneurial activities and my working within the community, and I can use that podcast to get people interested in the libertarian ideas.
You're also pretty unique because you're pretty young for doing all of this. Do you want to share your age?
Yeah, I'm 16.
Yeah, and you're still in government school, right?
Yes, I'm a sophomore this year.
Oy. Any chance of you testing out? Do you have any prospects of testing out? Or do you want to go through all 4 years of high school?
Right now, what I'm trying to do is get as much credit as I can this year, and then I'm just going to ride through the rest of my 2 years of high school with taking 2 to 3 classes a year.
Did you ever imagine there would be a draft? Is that something that would be on your mind as you're going through school?
No, actually, I never thought about that.
And now, having heard, you know, and read in the headlines that this is something that some representatives are considering in Congress, instituting a draft, is that something that you like?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm a little scared.
Really? Well, I think we should talk about it. There's, you know, this is something that came out 2 days ago at HuffingtonPost.com. Headline, "Want to Destroy ISIS? Congress Should Implement the Draft and Raise Taxes Immediately." Now, I'm 25. I'm not sure if this would affect me or if I would just miss the cuff. I don't know if they ask for men aged 25 or more during a draft. But, of course, they could make up any rules they want as soon as they institute mandatory conscription. But here's what the author H.A. Goodman had to say at HuffingtonPost.com. Since President Obama recently stated ISIS is a direct threat to national and global security, and since we have a military that's overburdened from 2 wars in the Middle East, one still ongoing in Afghanistan, the American people should make some sacrifices for the next war. Yes. Prepare yourself for more sacrifices for Obama's next war. Thus far, the 2.5 million veterans of both wars, less than 1% of the population, and their families have done all the heavy lifting for our great nation. And as a result, we recently had a VA crisis that is still ongoing, a debt crisis that our grandchildren will be faced with well into their own retirement, and the threat of future budget sequestration and even shutdowns. We have a population of over 313 million people, and it isn't fair for the 2.5 million veterans or the over 500,000 active duty soldiers to defend such a large nation on their own, especially against an existential threat in ISIS. Now, that's just the first paragraph here, but pretty alarmist, wouldn't you say, Nick?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, is there anything in that paragraph that you disagreed with? Or is, the, yes. is this author making a great case for mandatory conscription?
No, I even think that you could come up with some better arguments. I think the American people have made enough sacrifices for the last few wars. I don't see why we should sacrifice any more freedoms, right?
I think it's weird, too, that the person would complain about an all-volunteer army. Like, isn't it a good thing that the people who are fighting in the war are all volunteer, that they haven't been forced to hold a gun and point it at their enemies? And further, they haven't gotten to the argument, I wonder if they're going to address this, about low morale. Like, people in the military don't want to work with others who have been forced to be there. Generals learned during Vietnam that they were the least motivated when they were put over there because they have no passion. They have no incentive to be in there. And it's scary. I don't know if you can relate. Well, this, you know, complaining about the 2.5 million veterans of both wars and their families have done all the heavy lifting for our great nation. Another thing is I never asked them to do any of that. You know, I don't want them to be dying or to be over there. So, you know, for them to say it's the heavy lifting for our nation, I'm like, please stop. No, just stop where you are. Well, but then here's where it gets really good. The call to action. It's time to get off the couch, America, and collectively sacrifice for national security, both through taxes to fund the next conflict and a draft, like the previous generations in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And ISIS wants to bankrupt this country and drag us into another quagmire. So if you believe these maniacs need to be destroyed by bullets fired from American guns, it's time for you, too, to start firing these bullets and paying for the next war. It almost sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, when I first read this, I thought, man, this has to be satire.
Yeah, unfortunately, coming up, the author confirms, no, this isn't a joke. He continues, once we defeat ISIS, we can then begin to destroy the next terrorist group that pops up, like Al-Qaeda, Iraq, morphed into ISIS. With money from higher taxes and from the additional troop levels from a national draft. It's like this author is promoting endless war. Since when, I mean, not that the Huffington Post has ever had some principled stance on issues, but since when did the Huffington Post beat the drums of war, Nick?
I don't know. I always thought they were kind of lefty, but I guess the anti-war left has left a long time ago.
So what effect do you think it would have if America started implementing the draft? If tomorrow they just said, look, everyone who is 18 to 25, we're going to have a big lottery, and if your name gets pulled, you're getting shipped over to Syria or Iraq or wherever they want to send you next to defeat the next terrorist threat.
Well, I would hope that it would not go over too well and that people would complain, at least complain about it. But I'm actually a little worried that a lot of people would support the draft. I guess that's pretty, what do you call it? I'm forgetting the word.
Well, part of me actually...
pessimistic.
I could see that. But part of me, and, you know, this is... It's not entirely serious, but part of me wants the draft because then the American people become invested in what's going on overseas. Like, right now, because it's an all-volunteer army, they're not paying any attention because they don't have to be. But if there's a risk that their son or daughter or nephew might be involved in the conflict, well, then they have a pretty big incentive to start paying attention to what's going on. And maybe, sure, they'll speak up out against it. I think that's what we saw in Vietnam.
Yeah, I'm sure there would be plenty of peace protests.
Right. There are not a lot of peace protests around today. In fact, one of the great memes that gets passed around, those who love peace have seen the missing poster, the wanted poster for the anti-war left. Where'd they go? As soon as Obama got elected, you know, they were filling the streets when George Bush was in office. They were filling up Pennsylvania Avenue, marching with signs, but then as soon as President Obama got into office, back to sleep. The anti-war left is ready to go home and not complain, not make a peep about the endless bombing campaigns of Iraq. Just like Clinton, you know, another Democrat, or George Bush Senior or Junior, you know, they're all the same. They're all bombing Iraq. The policy is no different. And now they're asking for you to jump over there, join in, pick up a gun, America. Get off the couch. Like, this is a real solution.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that they would try this again. The reason why they stopped drafting people in Vietnam was that it was going over very badly.
Well, right? Yeah.
And I'm sure the same thing would happen again.
Do you have any military recruiters at your school? Do they come into the lunchroom and say, oh, sign up for the war, son. We'll give you a free education.
No, actually, I've never seen any recruiters. There have been military personnel to come talk on Veterans Day, but...
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Tell me about that. Do they have a whole assembly? Like, they call the kids down to the big assembly room, and he speaks to a large group of people, or is it just a classroom-to-classroom thing?
No, it was the whole school, and we have a small school that we can fit in.
Okay, so it's all...
small gym.
Did you feel it was propaganda?
At the time, actually, we haven't had one of those in a while. We used to have school on Veterans Day. Normally, people don't, and now we do have it off. But I was in middle school, and at the time, I was kind of, I didn't know, I wasn't as educated and enlightened as I am now. So I was all in favor of what he was saying.
Wow. That's a surprise.
Said.
Yeah, you don't remember. You just liked it. You clapped. Did you put your hand over your heart and say the pledge with everyone?
I did, and I shook his hand and thanked him for his service.
Ugh. Well, I thank you for your service, Nick, but I don't thank him. Hey, should America...
I thank you too.
Well, thank you. Should we reinstitute the draft? Is it time to pick up a gun for peace in the Middle East?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Freedom Fiends, we are lighting fires of liberty, talking about should America reinstitute the draft tonight with me, Nick.
Hey.
Yeah, so I want to destroy ISIS. I don't like seeing people being beheaded. So some people think that it would be a good idea to force every able-bodied male ages 18 to 25 to pick up a gun and go to Iraq and fight the bad guys. What do you think about that idea, Nick?
I don't like it. I don't really know what the solution is to ISIS and how to stop them is, but a national draft is probably not one, because I think people would resist too much. It's just not a good idea to force people to do things that they don't want to do.
What would resistance look like to you?
Well, personally, if I was enlisted in the draft, if my lottery ticket was drawn and I won the sweepstakes,
you win. Do you get anything out of it? Do you get to keep the uniform, the gun? Do you have any idea?
I think you get to keep a uniform. And if you get any medals, you get to keep those.
Sweet. So you win if you keep your life. So what do you win? And what would you do?
Well, I would like to think, at least. I don't really know what I'd do under coercion like that. But I would like to think that I would peacefully resist. You know, I'd make them drag me onto the plane. And if I ended up on the battlefield, I would drop my weapon. Unless somebody was firing at me, I would respond in self-defense. But I would not harm somebody that did not harm me or somebody that had not initiated force in the first place.
Well, that's nice of you. I think that would make it tough for other government agents to justify a draft if the people that they drafted were poor at doing the job. Like, do you think that could catch on? Do you think you could motivate enough of your peers to not participate? Or do you think there are just enough drones out there who are willing to just obey any given order that it wouldn't make a difference?
I would certainly hope that I could. I think that war is a scary enough place that I would be able to convince people.
Yeah. I'm wondering, do you know of any people famous throughout history who have refused to enlist despite being drafted? I remember hearing stories about people resisting the draft or threatening to be arrested. I remember Muhammad Ali, I thought, was one of them. Not totally certain in what company he was. I know there were others during Vietnam, but I think those people are heroes. Those people who were able to say, no, I don't care what you do. You can jail my body and keep me from the free world, but I am not going to pick up a gun and take orders from you. That's real heroism. That takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it's often portrayed as being cowardly, but really resisting the pressure to do that and realizing, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, and not doing it is very brave.
Well, they say it's not patriotic, Nick. You should support your country. You should be willing to die for that flag. But you're not. Why not?
No, because that flag represents a system that harms me and everybody else in this geographic location.
Well, I just picked up another article. This one from thehill.com, which is sort of like a blog for DC for Congress people. Representative Charlie Rangel, a Democrat from New York, on Sunday renewed his call to reinstate the draft, arguing a vote should be held on mandatory military service before any decision is taken to launch strikes against Syria. Now, there's something wrong with this idea of a bunch of sociopaths in the District of Criminals getting together in a private, well-defended building and voting everyone else's freedom away, saying, we made up a rule that says you have to go fight for us. There's something wrong with that. They sort of make it look justifiable by saying, well, we had a vote. You know, it was up to the will of the people. The representatives voted. So you decided. You wanted to be conscripted. That's not how it really works. That's obfuscating the truth. Just because there's a vote doesn't mean it's legitimate. Charlie Rangel, just another one of these bureaucrats, politicians, telling other people to go pick up guns and fight for his war. I won't do it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Welcome back to Freedom Fiends. What kind of, you're a yak, aren't you? You're not even a cat.
No, yeah, I'm the hazy yak.
You're the hazy yak. I'm the warrant canary. So both of us are making the wrong sound. I suppose I should be tweeting. Tweet, tweet. Giving people the good warning. Although freedomfiends.com is up. A warrant canary, do you know what that is, Nick?
I do.
Okay, well, for those who don't know, I'm going to repeat it. When websites or businesses want to let the peoples know that they've been contacted by the FBI or some other government agency, they put up a warning that says, "Hey, people, we have not been contacted by the FBI / NSA / any government agency. And they have not compromised our private data." And then when that warning goes away, you know that there's a pretty good chance they have been compromised. And that is a handy tool that people can use today, because it's forbidden sometimes for these businesses to let you know that they have been compromised, as we've seen in the case of Yahoo most recently, who had been fighting battles behind the scenes to protect customer data, but lost again and again in government courts, where they said, "You have to turn over private data to us." Them, Microsoft, all the rest. People who thought they were complying with PRISM and the NSA's backdoor programs snooping up everyone's data. Well, it turns out they were trying to fight it all along. So a warrant canary can be a very helpful thing. Anyway, how did we get there? I wanted to talk about the draft, Nick. I think it's important because there are some politicians seriously kicking around this idea. And when bad ideas are kicking around, it's important to smack them down with a verbal smackdown of logic. So let's do that and put the metaphorical nail in the coffin of the idea of the draft. So what's really wrong about it? How would it affect people and their families? Let's get rubber meets road here.
Yeah, well, war is a very terrifying place. My grandfather served in World War II as a merchant marine, and merchant marines don't often see action. But
what is that? What's a merchant marine? A marine that sells clothes?
A merchant marine is one that is basically they work kind of like the Navy. I don't really know, but the way he described it is he was often on a boat, and they brought supplies to the troops overseas.
Okay. So it's like working retail?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't imagine it is. Okay, so what was he on, a nuclear sub, or what sort of boat was he on?
No, he was on some sort of freighter that was bringing
It carried,
supplies.
Like, shipments of stuff. All right.
Yes.
And so he didn't see much combat.
No, but he did see a little bit. And one of the times it did happen, he was going, they got attacked by the Japanese somewhere. And they were in a fleet. Yeah, and there were boats going down in places. And he had to watch people drown down in the ocean below him because they couldn't stop. They had to keep going. Oh, otherwise, no. They would have been killed too. And that's absolutely terrifying. Wow. I don't think anybody should have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no one should be forced into that situation against their will. That sounds awful.
Yeah, the poor guy, he cries every time he tells that story.
Oh.
And I've heard it once, but that's
Yeah, those
that's
kinds
exactly
of scars
why.
Stay with you, don't they?
Yeah, and that's damaging, and especially if you lose somebody, like a child, that's devastating. And for something that probably shouldn't be happening, right? We shouldn't be using violence like that to solve our problems.
Right. It also affects the soldiers who survive, those who aren't even damaged physically by bullets, but are damaged mentally by war, seeing these atrocities. And what we've learned about PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, where these soldiers are coming back totally emotionally broken. It must be terrifying. I don't know what it's like personally. I've never fought in any wars or even volunteered in any sort of military style. Even the Boy Scouts. Did you even do Boy Scouts, Nick?
No.
Have you done anything that resembles the military, like pre-cop school, the police academy?
Not at all.
Okay. Well, I have no idea what it's like, but I see these people who come back. First of all, they get promised the world. You know, you said you don't experience military recruiters in high school, but I remember them coming to our lunchroom telling people how it was the best deal to get a free ride through school. Oh, they got this and that degree. They could use it right after. Bang, bang, boom. They've got a job, which is something a lot of people are concerned about, being laden with debt and not being able to get a job afterwards. Well, the military promises those things, but then often fails to deliver. And then it ends up that a lot of these veterans are homeless. A lot of the homeless in the U.S. are veterans, and mentally and emotionally damaged, as we mentioned. So they're unable to get regular jobs. They've got, contrary to what they were promised, very low skills, not very marketable. Go figure that after coming back from 4 years killing people, that's not a valued skill in the American economy. That you actually have to provide something of value in exchange for compensation, that you can't just go around murdering people for what you want. So, yeah, these are not helpful skills to have, and it's no solution. Certainly no solution for peace in our time. I don't know what these politicians are thinking. Anyway, is that it? Have we put the nail in the coffin of the draft, or are there still some objections that a devil's advocate could make?
I think we've done it pretty well.
I mean, what the heck could be the argument? Let's see. Continuing from the article at thehill.com, Rangel, a decorated veteran of the Korean War, remember, this is the guy who supports the draft, has for several years introduced legislation to bring back the draft. And earlier this, for the first time, advocated that women should be included. Wow. So at least he's fair. He says the New York lawmaker said the burden of war unfairly falls on lower income Americans. Well, that's interesting. They're not in the Hamptons, he says. They're not in the wealthy neighborhoods. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it being a volunteer army? What he seems to be saying is that it would be better for people of all socioeconomic backgrounds to be fighting. Do you think that's true, Nick?
No, I think nobody from all social backgrounds.
But where do you think he's coming from when he's saying that?
I would say a warmongering side. But
it sounds to me almost like it would bring a faster end to the war. And he almost, like, I'm confused as to whether or not he actually acknowledges that. Like, does he get that by including rich people in the fighting, that's going to make those wealthy families turn against the war?
I doubt he does realize that. Maybe he does, but it seems it might be kind of obvious, right? We've had experience. Well, not we. I haven't had experience with the draft, but this nation and its government has had experience with the draft, and it did not go over very well.
Hmm.
So you'd think that they might have learned, but of course the government never learns.
Well, I'm surprised that given President Obama's speech earlier this week that he is interested in pursuing yet another war. He didn't quite call it that. I don't know if you... Did you watch that speech by Obama earlier this week?
No, I never pay attention to him.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But sometimes their speeches are important enough, and I thought that this qualified as one of them. It was almost a war declaration speech, but of course we know presidents don't declare war anymore. They just go ahead and do what they want. Congress doesn't declare war as per the Constitution would require, but, you know, it's the year of the dictator, and Obama has just decided that more military action in Iraq is what we're going to do, and some politicians think that's not nearly enough. We need to sign up the young, able-bodied men and women and ship them off. So, anyway, I don't see that working out. I think it was ridiculous also that they avoid the language of war, that Obama didn't quite call it that. You know, this would be a, I forget the words he used, something like a military strategic strike. We will degrade and destroy ISIS. And he never quite puts his finger on exactly how he's going to do it. Didn't mention a draft, though, fortunately. Anything else about the draft that you want to mention before we move on?
I think that it's very unlikely that they will institute it. I just don't see it going over well, and I don't think it would be a very good political move for them.
Right, and that's because too many people will disobey. There's an attitude of disobedience that I think people have been raised in for a few generations. It might be a little latent. We may not see it so much in the mainstream culture, but it's definitely there. Proof in the Washington Post this week, I read an article published September 11th, of all days, kindergarten teacher, quote, "There's a good possibility I'll be fired, but..." Well, that begins her letter to her classroom students' parents. She is opting out of one of the state-mandated tests in Florida, the FAIR test. Don't you love how these are named? Like, you can't be against them. It's the FAIR test. So if you're against it, you're obviously unfair. You're a horrible person. Well, this kindergarten teacher has had enough. She says that too much of the school year is taken up by mandatory state testing. She's all for assessments and helping children achieve benchmarks, but it's gotten to be too much. Too much is required of the teachers. There's no classroom instruction time. Do you have any experience with these state-mandated tests? Do you experience these still, Nick?
Not really. Our charter school is pretty, I don't want to say progressive, but it has done, it's pretty revolutionary.
It's revolutionary, wow.
I guess.
How so?
I feel like that's a little too strong of a word.
It refuses the state-mandated tests?
Well, we don't have, I don't think we have too many state-mandated tests. And of course, we do have to take our, we do. We have these things called the Oaks test, and we do have to take them, and they're not very fun.
I had a feeling you had state-mandated tests. It's almost everywhere that is the case. But teachers are increasingly speaking up about the onslaught of standardized tests. We'll talk about that after this trip to the free market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is the Freedom Fiends, a weird show with meow therapy. So, we're talking about the draft, talking about disobedience, and one kindergarten teacher that says, enough! I have had enough of all of these state-required mandatory testing of my students. I will not take it anymore. She's been teaching for 26 years in the same school district and says, I don't care what happens. You can fire me, but I am not going to give out this test. And why? Why has she put her foot down? Well, to get a clue, let's read an excerpt from what she posted to Facebook after receiving a lot of support from the Alachua County Public Schools administrators, the school board, the teachers' unions, and hundreds of parents and other teachers after they expressed their support. She wrote this on Facebook. To the parents of the boys and girls in my class, I wrote you a letter over the weekend to let you know that I am refusing to administer the FAIR test. That stands for Florida Assessments for Instruction in Reading. So I am refusing to administer the FAIR test to your precious little ones. I had hoped to send you an email or letter, but it would not be professional of me or allowed by the district for a letter to go out letting you know that I am doing something that is a breach of contract and therefore against the law. I want you to know that for the last 26 years, I've been a classroom teacher, I've been a good employee, and have always complied with my superiors. I also want you to know that this is not in any way being done because our principal or superintendent are mandating these tests. This is a government issue. So this decision does not involve anyone I work for. It is an act of civil disobedience. I am hoping for government change in policy regarding testing. And then she links to the letter that she comprised, which I won't read. It's far too long. But you get the gist. She's saying, I'm not doing it. It's not because my administrators are forcing it down my throat. It's because the government is. And she says later in her letter that it's about all the time that it takes up. So what are your initial reactions to this, Nick? Are you supportive? You think this is a good move?
Yeah, I'm very supportive. I don't like standardized testing, and I don't think it's that great of an idea. It doesn't help anybody. When I do it, I'm a gifted student, so I pass with flying colors. But that's not the case for everybody, and most of the information is kind of pointless.
Yeah,
we don't
especially
really
for
that.
You. Especially if you're gifted, it's just an annoyance. It's in the middle of your education. You should be learning something new that day, but instead you're filling out some stupid form, proving that you have, you know, mediocre intelligence, you know, or better, right? That's the requirement. So they're not helpful. They're not effective. And if you're testing all the school year, well then, at what point are students supposed to learn anything?
Yeah.
This teacher, she references like 10 or 15 different mandated tests, you know, some in math, reading, science, social studies, all these different tests that students are required to take. Meanwhile, when are they supposed to learn anything? Are they just constantly testing?
I guess. I don't know. What's the point in that, right?
I don't know. Do you remember any of your state mandated tests?
A little bit.
You were saying you had okra or something. What was that?
Oaks testing. I don't know what it stands for. Oregon something, something, something.
Right.
But they're state tests is what we call them. And there's, I think, four different ones in middle and elementary school. And that's science, math, reading, and writing. And maybe there's a social studies one, too, I guess. And they were not helpful.
Yeah, did you ever think about just not picking up the pencil, not filling anything out?
No, I just do it, I guess.
Oh, come on. Throw a wrench in the works here. Jam up the gears of the system, will you, Nick? We need those gifted people like you. You don't need the test for anything. You'll do fine in life without it.
Well, I think it's this year.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to monkey wrench with the system if you're a peaceful person who wants to obstruct the government's control over the population. You can do it wherever you are, even if you're still in school. Worms. This is a seditious show tonight. This is a Freedom Fiends. We'll have more when we come back from this trip from the free market. Yeah.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
To you by the Freedom Fiends. Here it is, Derek J on the line, and Nick of anyak.com. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you doing today, or this at this time?
I am super duper this second hour of the Freedom Fiends here, this live Sunday night edition. We are broadcasting coast to coast here. I'm on the east, you are on the west. And we're making freedom happen all in between. So we're talking about a story about a kindergarten teacher who committed an act of civil disobedience by refusing to administer tests, or at least promising to. We're unsure what's going to happen. And we were just reacting to that a little bit. And I was deeply moved by her courage. I think it's about time that a teacher like her stand up and say something, and apparently lots of other people do too.
Yeah, I certainly agree with her.
Yep, there have been teachers' unions supporting her, and have you ever taken, were starting to tell us about a test that it was administered each year in Oregon, and you said you just take these things, you've never refused, but would you consider refusing now?
Maybe. I'm actually considering it now. It somewhat affects my schoolwork. I guess it doesn't count for a grade, but I would probably get in trouble for it, but it might be kind of fun.
Who do you think would put you in trouble? Would you get sent to the principal's office or what?
Yes, because it reflects on the school. When I know that the better that kids do on these tests, it somehow affects the school. I don't know if it's through payment or the way it's ranked in the state.
Probably both. Has yeah. Something to do with the funding. There's always some sort of carrot on a stick for schools. Of course, it's so evil, so malicious, because most funding for government schools comes from the local property taxes, of course. But most of the direction from the curriculum comes from Washington, D.C., where governments get just a small portion of their yearly budget, but so many of the strings are attached to D.C. and not the local city or anything. So it's a sort of weird balance of power there.
Yeah. And I just going on that for a bit. It's because one of the reasons I think is because people are forced to pay property taxes, while the federal government kind of gets to choose where it funds money. So there's no incentive to really please their customers in the school.
Yeah, good point. They could just lay on more and more tests each year until there's a breaking point. Until someone says no, people are just going to keep complying with whatever they're demanding. It's pretty weird. And I'm glad it's finally coming to an end. I don't know which will come first, like massive civil disobedience among teachers in these government schools, or just the collapse of these government schools by lack of funding. But either way, they are going to collapse. The writing is on the wall, and so it's good to have an alternative prepared. Are you prepared I mean, have you considered like homeschooling or unschooling for the rest of your high school career?
Yes, I'm still considering dropping out and doing my own thing with farming.
Just with because, farming?
Yes.
Do you farm?
So, yes, that's why I am the Hazy Yak. I'm a yak farmer.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's cool. So is this this could be a career for you, yak farming?
Yes, that's what I'm planning on right now is yaks and hogs.
Wow. Have you slaughtered any?
No, not yet. I'll be selling my first non-4-H animal this next month, I think.
What do you mean by that, non-4-H animal?
Well, I have done 4-H, and I have, this was my, last year was about my fifth year doing 4-H, where I've sold many lambs and...
What is 4-H?
4-H is a program. I can't remember which government office actually works with it, but it's somewhat funded by the state governments.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different branches of the 4-H, but the part that I'm part of is livestock growing and raising. So what I raise primarily have been sheep. I raise a lamb, a market lamb, to sell at the 4-H auction at our county fair. And it's a program that gets people interested in agriculture, and it gets people a nice start, and like kids' experience in working with the animals and in the industry.
Wow, that sounds great. Most government programs, I'm like, I can identify five bad things about it right away. But that one, I can kind of get behind. No food, or no farms, no food, as they say.
Yeah, and it's not entirely government funded. It's kind of a weird mix.
Oh, okay. Like schools.
Yeah.
Well, I've got another weird story of peaceful resistance that I wanted to share with you. And it's in the similar vein of civil disobedience of the kindergarten teacher. Another man is saying enough. This time to the TSA. And there's video. We won't be able to play the video on the air, but you can certainly look it up. This I'm reading from benswan.com. Headline, TSA tries to pat down man after his flight. Watch him refuse. And we won't watch him, obviously. This is an audio program, but we can recount the story for you. Last Saturday, Kyler Nygaard took a Spirit Airlines flight to Denver to visit with friends. When he departed from Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, TSA, or Transportation Security Administration agents, patted him down and allowed him to board his flight. When the plane landed, he was singled out and ordered to exit before the other passengers. After he exited the aircraft, TSA agents approached Nygaard and demanded that he go through an additional pat-down and a screening of his luggage for explosive materials. What would you do? This is you. You're on a plane. You get called out. Nick, come with us. You need to leave this plane first. And everyone's watching you exit the plane. Like, what's going on? What's with that guy? Why are they calling him out? And then it turns out they want to pat you down again. What do you say?
Well, I would certainly make a scene out of it, and I would inform them of my rights. And I would say, do you really want to be doing this? Who does this help? I've already got off my flight. Do you really need to pat me down?
What about a video camera?
If I had one, I would certainly be filming.
Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I have my little chromed robot turd.
Oh, okay. So if you have one of those, then does it have a live streaming app?
No, I need to get one.
Oh, man. Yeah. Then this is a great time to bring up a free app that you and anyone can use to live stream incidences like these. I think it is irreplaceable to have video live streaming to the internet in a crisis situation like this. Because this man, while he wasn't arrested this time, he could have been. And if he were arrested, we wouldn't be seeing this video for months, if not years, in some cases. But if the video is live streaming to the internet, then it is available right away. And you can even have a live viewing audience. So the app that I use is Bambuser. That's Bambuser. essential. You don't have to use Bamboozer. There are lots of other apps that broadcast live to the internet. But what I like about Bamboozer is it works on iPhones and Android. You can set it up so that it's basically one button push live recording to the internet. And it connects with Facebook. So if there's an emergency, it blasts out to all your friends. They can watch the video right away. What do you think about that?
I think that's brilliant.
Cool. You going to use it?
Yeah, I've written it down and I'm going to go look at it after the show.
Cool. That would have been helpful for Kylar Nygaard after his Spirit Airlines flight. Let's learn more about him. It says he had already arrived safely at his destination in Denver and simply wanted to leave the airport. After an argument, which can be seen in the video, Nygaard refused the pat-down, despite the fact that TSA agents claimed he would be arrested if he didn't comply, and exited the airport without incident. So apparently he also flew back to Minnesota yesterday without any complications, according to Fox 9 News. But I mean, what do you think about this? What right do TSA agents have to screen you after a flight? This seems entirely new to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it has any point to it, right? What's the point if you've already gone through the first screening to get onto the plane, and then after the flight, you did not commit any terrorist acts? What are you going to do in the airport or outside of the airport if you've already gone through the initial screening to get on the flight?
Right, right.
That doesn't make sense.
He just wants to leave, and they're obstructing him from leaving. I mean, does he not have the right or the freedom of movement? So it's interesting, their tactics here. First, they pull him off individually, like, here, sir, you're coming with us, before everyone else on the plane. And then you see in the video that he's entirely flanked on all sides by agents in blue shirts. You know, with their hands behind their backs at attention, you know, pulling the power look of a bully surrounding them and showing their force. And the man asks, am I being detained or am I free to go? Which is an excellent question to ask in that situation, but they're just badged individuals. They're not police. So do they even have any right to detain a person, especially when they're leaving? So it's unclear. He says, is it a request or an order? He asks this TSA agent, you know, is it a request that I stay here and answer your questions and be patted down a second time? Or is that an order from you? And the TSA agent makes it clear, hey, it's just a request. It's something that I, as an agent, have been ordered to do from my superiors. And if you don't obey this request, I am going to call the Denver police on you. Sounds like a threat to me. But this man decides to walk away and is unharassed by any of the agents or police and actually got to return without incident. So perhaps more refusals would have a better impact on freedom across the country. Maybe you should be refusing your next TSA pat-down. Have you been patted down, Nick?
No, I don't fly very often.
Is that because of the TSA?
No, it's just because I guess we don't have quite enough money or anywhere to go.
Well, I wonder if more Americans would be traveling more often if it weren't for these agents in blue gloves. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow. Meow, meow. Meow.
Amigo. Yeah, worms. Worms. So, okay, a man refused a TSA pat-down. Big deal. What are you gonna do? Just go through the line, put your hands up like a criminal, and allow your naked body to be scanned by straight C students? I don't know. Not me. Not you, Nick. You're not gonna do it. You don't fly.
No. Definitely not.
And we weren't clear on that. It's not totally a moral decision. There may be other factors involved. But I think it would be a good move to see more people opting out. There was a big movement called We Won't Fly, where people were, you know, after the introduction of the TSA, people were saying, no, you're not going to put your hands down my pants. You're not going to grope my daughter. That is not okay. And if that's how it's going to be, I'm not going to fly. And ever since, I haven't flown. I don't know about you. Have you flown within the last, like, 10 years?
I have not. I've been lucky enough to...
That's good. Then you haven't been able
to... miss out on the pat-downs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are still road pirates. You know, you get tickets on the road, but it's not as bad. They typically don't undress you and you know, put their hands down your pants. Typically. If you're lucky.
Sometimes they do, but...
So there's this weird story out of Virginia that I want to share with you, Nick. Power company tip leads to Bitcoin mining raid. First of all, let's cover Bitcoin. You use Bitcoin?
Yeah, a little bit.
What is it?
Bitcoin basically is a digital currency, a cryptocurrency. I don't know really much about it, at least how it works.
What do you know about it?
Dollar.
Why? Why is it better than the dollar?
Well, it has a built-in scarcity mechanism, right? It can't just be printed and printed and printed like the dollar can. Instead, they have mining, right? Like what this guy is doing. He was mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's like putting your computer to work solving a complex algorithm. And when the computer solves the algorithm or solves a piece of the puzzle, a Bitcoin is mined into existence. Right? And so that's what this guy here is doing. That keeps it scarce, and then you can spend Bitcoin across long distances. It's internet money, basically. So this story from altcoinpress.com writes, Virginia Bitcoin enthusiast Jonas Diner, age 37, will avoid jail time for cannabis discovered in his home during a police raid. The home invasion occurred after a power company official tipped off police that the Bitcoin miner was using an incredible amount of electricity in his home. What do you think about this, Nick? Have you mined any Bitcoin?
No, I don't have a powerful enough computer.
I wouldn't admit it if you did either. Because it looks like you might get a police raid.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by this. It seems like we have moved past the idea of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, well, apparently an anonymous tip from an employee at a power company is all it takes for the police to show up and raid your house. The employee told law enforcement officials the house was using 8 times the amount of power a typical home that size would use. This caused police suspicion of a marijuana growing operation in the home. He might be growing plants. During the raid, police arrested the man and seized all his Bitcoin mining equipment, a number of physical Bitcoins, and a small quantity of marijuana. Per the terms of the plea agreement, the man received 6 months in jail, all suspended for misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia, while a more serious charge of marijuana possession was dropped. The man appeared in Rockingham County Court this Thursday. So, a fascinating tale. A cautionary tale. And if you are doing anything involving large amounts of electricity, you may be inviting a raid if you live in the U.S. I hear these stories all the time. People are growing tomatoes or whatever in their house, and then the police show up thinking they're growing marijuana. Boy, the drug war has really come... too far at the point where police are raiding homes over regular household plants and now Bitcoin. I hope he encrypted his Bitcoin wallets.
Yeah, they might have been seized.
Well, they were seized. All his mining equipment was taken. Presumably, that would include the computers he was storing his bitcoins on. So let's hope that's encrypted. We will learn to encrypt together. We will keep our information safe from the government and their overreaching hands. Even their guns. Their guns are no use against encryption. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow!
Freedom Fiends. Worms. This is Freedom Fiends. Welcome back. Talking about all kinds of crazy stories, tasing you with liberty, calming the hamster in your brain. So, a power company tip leads to a Bitcoin mining raid. It all goes to show those anonymous tips can end up with a government muzzle at your door. That is not a metaphor. That is actually true, actually happening, in this case in Virginia. I hope that Bitcoin enthusiast gets his money back. Like Nick and I were saying, hopefully he encrypted his .dat file. That's where you save your Bitcoins. I've got another crazy story. If that wasn't crazy enough, this is trending at the top of Facebook. North Korea jails American Matthew Miller for 6 years in a hard labor camp. Did you hear about this story, Nick?
I heard a little bit about this.
Crazy.
But not much.
Terrifying. So first of all, have you ever considered leaving the U.S.?
Yes, to get away from the harassment of government.
Yes, me too. And what places did you consider?
Mexico, New Zealand, Canada, but maybe South America somewhere.
What about, I don't know, North Korea?
Definitely not North Korea.
Why not?
I think of that as even worse of government harassment than the United States. It's kind of the example of totalitarian regimes.
Well, American Matthew Miller traveled to North Korea and reportedly claimed asylum, ripping up his visa on arrival. He's from Bakersfield, California. He entered the country illegally and tried to commit an act of espionage. Just 24 years old, according to North Korea's Supreme Court. He was arrested in April and put on trial Sunday morning. The court denied him any appeal, but the details of the proceedings were not published. So I wonder how much of this is made up by the officials at Pyongyang. Or if this really is true, did he violate the law, come deliberately, and then try and commit an act of espionage? Even if he did, I mean, come on, dude. North Korea? I don't think anyone deserves hard labor camps. But if you come from the U.S., like especially a place like Bakersfield, California, you're not limited in your access to the knowledge that North Korea has hard labor camps, are you? I mean, are you shielded from that knowledge, Nick? Were you aware?
No, I am very aware of their labor camps.
It's like the one thing people know about North Korea. Like, oh, North Korea. Yeah, that's where those dictatorships are and those hard labor camps, right? It's not a place I would typically think, I'm going to escape and be free in North Korea. But that's what Matthew Miller did. Now he ends up in a hard labor camp for 6 years. Crazy, crazy story. I don't even have anything more to say about that. Just like, you're dumb. There are other Americans who are doing hard labor for longer periods of time who I guess actually committed real crimes against the state, doing Christian missionary work like Kenneth Bay. But this kid just seems to be an idiot. There's nothing else to it.
Yeah, basically, that's all I get from this is, I mean, I don't know what to say either. It's kind of, that's just dumb.
Well, speaking of idiots, this one's a new one. I applaud it. So there's a contest that's going on in England. It's a radio show contest, and they want to see which friends love each other the most, like who's going to go the furthest for their buddy, and they're going to give them tickets to a rugby championship, the 2015 Rugby World Cup. And engineering student Mr. McIntosh, age 23, and teacher Mr. McCormick, age 24, are going to tie the knot to win the radio competition. But there's something strange about them tying the knot. They're just friends. They're not lovers. They're not gay lovers, but they are getting gay married. This is actually happening, and it's horrifying gay groups. What do you think about this, Nick?
Well, I support their right to do whatever they want.
Even if it's not for love, do you think this tarnishes the idea, the sanctity of marriage?
Well, no. I think that maybe it undermines the idea of being married in the legal sense, but I mean, I would marry my best friend just for legal purposes or for tax reasons.
Or to win a contest?
Yeah, or to win a contest. I mean, I don't find too much sanctity in marriage. I don't really care about the tradition that much.
Are you going to get married?
I don't know.
Okay, but you might.
To the idea.
Yeah. Well, they say they're going to be married for at least 2 years. They'll marry in front of 60 friends and family in Eden Park, Auckland. And, quote, we picked up our wedding certificate and the nerves are starting to really hit home. They're going to be legally binding. The couple's wedding song is Cruisin' by Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow. So it looks like they're having fun with this. Their family's backing them up. I can't believe there would be gay groups that speak out against it. The gay groups are saying something like this trivializes what we've fought for. This competition promoted the marriage of two men as something negative, as something outrageous that you'd never consider. Oh, I see. I see their point. It's, you know, the gay groups are saying, oh, this is weird and strange and wrong and different that these two couples are getting married. Isn't this what a lot of, like, Republicans and social conservatives feared? That, hey, if we legalize gay marriage, best friends will get married for the tax benefits or to win radio contests in this case. That is one of the things that they were afraid of, is it not?
I think it was. It seems like I've heard people say that.
Yeah, so more from this story. I hope that they... I don't know if they're going to live together, how far this is going to go, but it seems like they could. You know, why not? Why wouldn't friends want to get married? I would marry my best friend. You could always get a divorce later when you find a real lover. It would be like two different marriages. Like, your first marriage is to your friend, and then when you guys both find an independent, a lifelong partner, then you move on to your second partner, or your third, or your fourth. It could be multiple marriages. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm open to the idea. I don't see any problem with it. It doesn't harm anybody, so, I mean, why care?
How do you think your friends would react if you asked them, if you popped the question?
I don't know. I don't think it would be too upset, they'd probably think I was joking.
Yeah, but do you have any friends you could really marry? Think you could stick it out with?
No, I don't think so.
No. That's a shame. We've got another interesting story this week from Texas, where there's a militia group. Are you in a militia?
I am not.
Okay, just checking. There's a militia group in Texas, which is not too uncommon for a place like Texas. But what is uncommon is that they are blocking the borders of international bridges. And this is where a lot of commerce takes place. So the mayor and the city council are starting to get a little nervous because they don't have the best PR campaign. And this also came out during September 11th. So people are a little nervous about domestic terrorism. What is this militia group doing? They're not communicating with anyone. They've got guns. That's a little scary. Now, normally I support militias. I think it's great to have personal responsibility and security and defense, but if not, if you're not communicating, I mean, I don't say, like, hey, go talk to the police. I usually advocate don't talk to the police or the FBI. But in this case, isn't it kind of important? If you're going to be defending borders, right, don't you want to be communicating with the so-called owners of those borders?
Yeah, I definitely would do so just in my own personal safety. I don't want to be attacked by the police or the National Guard for being suspected of causing some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a militia in your area, what level of communication would you expect to receive from them?
I would at least appreciate a warning saying, hey, we're going to do this. It's public property. We can do what we want. I mean, at least that, right? Kind of an explanation of what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Yeah, I would like that too. Although in LibPair, in a libertarian paradise, everything would be owned, right? So we wouldn't have public property. So the militia would really just be defending what, their homes and those homes of people who contract them out?
Yeah, I suppose. I think I'd just in the spirit of community and cooperation that my neighbors would tell me if they were letting the militia group protect their borders, just because I might be a little bit worried. Why are there a bunch of men standing around with guns out in the field across the road?
Is that something that's attractive to you?
Not really. I'm all in favor of personal security, but I'm confident that I can protect myself to a good degree, and if I needed help, I would, at least, especially in our community here, I would certainly be able to get it.
I'm not attracted to the idea of militias, and I know a lot of libertarians are, so it might be sort of unpopular to express that opinion, but man, it's a real turnoff for me, because these people view guns and violence as a solution, and I just don't. I don't see any use for it. In I know this is going to sound really unpopular to a lot of libertarians, but in modern society, right? Do we really need a militia? I don't feel like I do. Even what sort of invaders do I need to protect against? First of all, if it's the government, your guns aren't going to work. They've got bigger and more plentiful guns than you. And if it's some foreign army, there's no incentive for them to invade an anarchist society because there's no capital or tax system for them to take over. So no militias is necessary in either case. So I don't support the idea. I don't want to be a part of one. I think you get what you prepare for. And if you're spending your days polishing your guns, thinking of the next bloody revolution, well, then that's what you're going to get. And that's not what I want.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there, actually.
Yeah, let's plan for peace. Let's find ways to encrypt data and outsmart those who would seek to do us harm. We can do it. Power to the individual. Anarchy worms. Today.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. worms.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty. Redemption in the third act, Nick. Let's do it. Let's leave the listener feeling calm and happy and good. You know, we've talked a lot about tyranny today, but it's okay. Because even if there were a draft, as we brought up in the first segment, that's only going to wake people up more.
Definitely, certainly, it would... make people a little bit worried and start thinking about what they should really do.
Yeah, they've got something at stake suddenly. It's not, I just send a check to Washington once a year and they just do whatever they want with it. It's, my son could come home in a box. Maybe I should say something. So that's positive. I know it sort of forces a negative situation in the short term, but if it gets people to see the dangers of war, perhaps that's the silver lining to the cloud. I don't know. So my favorite stories that we covered tonight are the TSA opt-outer and the kindergarten opt-outer. The people who are saying, no thanks. Yeah, about that government requirement, no. I am not going to do it. You want to pat me down? No. Oh, you want me to administer this test? No. I'm not going to do it. You can fire me. You can call the police. You can do whatever you want. But I am not your slave. And that's the kind of attitude I want to see adopted by more folks. You know, whenever people are hitting the mainstream with stories like these, I want to amplify them. Make sure that people know it is possible to flat out disobey an order from a TSA agent and walk free, as this man did, or disobey a government edict from the FedGov, as Susan Bowles, that kindergarten teacher, did. We'll see what consequences she bears, but it is possible to disobey, and that's a good thing. What about you, Nick? What are your favorite stories today?
I would definitely agree with you, especially the TSA one. I like what Bill Buford says often is, don't question authority, but question obedience. And I think that really speaks true with the TSA thing, is you don't really have to comply most of the time. Well, maybe not most of the time, but sometimes you can get away with not complying. And if you can, do it, because it helps everybody in the long run, because it undermines the authority or the pretense of authority for the state and the agencies that they have.
Oh, but please film it. I should add that caveat. It's stupid to do disobedience or any kind of dangerous, risky activism without recording it. If you're standing on moral high ground, as we know you are, record your actions when you disobey. And you'll be judged by the court of public opinion, if not just a jury of your peers.
Yes, certainly. And my next favorite story would be the one about the guy going to North Korea, because that's just funny.
Isn't that hilarious? I mean, I feel bad. I shouldn't laugh. Anytime people are thrown into a labor camp, it's no laughing situation. But man, you've got to be stupid to go to North Korea in search of more freedom.
Yeah, he's basically asking for it.
Yeah.
Right. It's just crazy. And I hope nobody else does it. But man, I just can't help but laugh a little bit.
Hasn't he heard about the Free State Project? It would be so much easier to move to New Hampshire for more freedom. And there's no torture.
Yeah, indeed.
FreeStateProject.org. I don't know if you know about that, Nick, but it's an idea of 20,000 liberty-loving people moving to the same geographic location to get active for freedom in our lifetime. It's one of the most exciting projects I can imagine. And if someone is willing to move to North Korea for freedom, then they should probably be willing to move to New Hampshire. Well, this has been great. There are ways to peacefully disobey and get away with it. Because you're not really getting away with anything. It's just freedom.
Worms.
I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight and given you the courage to say no to arbitrary authority when it comes your way. Don't forget to record. Check us out at freedomfiends.com in the meantime. Next show, anarcho-yakitalism at anyak.com, and me, Derek J, at derekj.me. Worms.